Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is actually not any of the three readings that we had earlier in the service. Because this is the Feast of St. Titus, I will be preaching this morning on the letter of St. Paul to St. Titus. And if you would like to follow along with this in the Pew Bible, it's on page 998. I'm going to be reading from Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked the kids. What does it take to be great? What does a person have to do in order to be considered one of the best at what they do? What does it truly take to earn that trophy? This is a question that a lot of people at this time of the year, in the month of January, at the beginning of a new calendar year, this is a question that people take into consideration in all different walks of life. In the sports world, we're trying to figure out right now, who is the greatest? In college football, we had the college bowl games just a few weeks ago. We've been following the NFL playoffs. The Super Bowl is next Sunday. In baseball, last week, they had the voting for the Hall of Fame. And yes, this Yankees fan is very excited that Derek Jeter got elected last week. But even outside of sports, in January, in the beginning of the year, this is when we have all the award shows, right? All the trophies that go along with them. You had the Golden Globes a couple weeks ago. The Grammys are tonight. The Oscars are coming up soon. So if you're into that kind of thing, this is the time of year where we consider greatness. But I think that a much better indicator of success, even more important than any of those championships and trophies and all of that stuff, if you want to be somebody as a celebrity, as a famous person, as an athlete, as an actor, as a musician, if you want to be recognized, honestly, I think the most important thing you could do is appear on an episode of Sesame Street. And I know that's probably not what you thought I was going to say, but hear me out. For the last 50 years, anybody who's anybody has been on Sesame Street. It seems like singing and laughing and joking around with Big Bird and Cookie Monster and Elmo, it's like a rite of passage for famous people in our world. The other day, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was kind of looking up on YouTube all these different videos of celebrity cameos on Sesame Street. And I was reminded of this one song that actually came out in 1986, which is the year I was born. So I remember it from my childhood. And it's also the title of the sermon. It's a song called, You Gotta Put Down the Ducky. And I'm sure some of you have heard of this one before, but the basic premise of the song is that Ernie really wants to learn how to play the saxophone. Except there's one problem. Ernie is carrying around a rubber ducky. And it's pretty hard to play the saxophone if you've got a rubber ducky in your hand. And so the obvious advice for Ernie would be, you got to put down the ducky if you want to play the saxophone, right? And so this whole song is filled with all of these famous people, all of these celebrities that are telling Ernie the same thing. You got to put down the ducky. You got to put down the ducky. And the list of celebrities is like a who's who of the late 1980s. It's people like John Candy and Danny DeVito and Barbara Walters and people like even Phil Donahue, if you remember his talk show, and Pee Wee Herman and first baseman Keith Hernandez, who was not wearing a Cardinals uniform at the time. He was wearing his Mets uniform in the video. But 1986 was a big year for the Mets, but you kind of see my point. Like, this was all of these famous people telling Ernie how he could be great. He simply had to put down the ducky if he wanted to play the saxophone. Or put another way, and I realize that I'm completely overanalyzing a silly song, but just bear with me. What these famous people are saying is, if you want to be great at the saxophone or whatever it is you want to be great at, you need to let go of the things that you're holding on to and clinging to that are going to make it so that you can't do what you're called to do. Okay, now that's a little deep for Sesame Street, but it's true. The reason why I thought about this is because of all the things that we have going on here at church today. So I mentioned before, we're going to install Hannah in a few minutes here in our service. We're really excited about that. And we're going to have a famous Hoyleton potluck after the service today. And then we have our annual voters meeting this afternoon, which is the cherry on top of the sundae, right? Okay, I might be overselling that just a little bit. But I also mentioned that today is a saint day, right? Today's Saint Titus Day. And so what that means is that today we get to learn from a celebrity the way that Ernie did. You know, that's really what saints are, if you think about it. They're like church celebrities from history. These are people that the church has universally recognized as being great, except they're not great because they've earned trophies or because they were on Sesame Street. They're great only because they were faithful, only because they were made great by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Saint Titus is a wonderful example of somebody who was faithful in his ministry in the days of the early Christian church. And his message was very similar to the saints who went before him and the saints who came after him, essentially saying to the people of God, you got to put down the ducky. You got to let go of sin if you are going to be an effective servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a little bit of background information on Titus in case you're sitting there wondering who in the world this man is that we're focusing so much attention on today. Titus was one of the companions of St. Paul in his ministry. Titus pretty much shows up right around Paul's third missionary journey. And Titus was a Gentile convert to Christianity, which meant that he was from the Greek world. He understood Greeks and their customs and their traditions. And that really served him well because he ended up serving a Greek church. The reading that I just had from Titus chapter 1, Paul tells us in verse 5 that he left Titus on the island of Crete to do his ministry and to serve God there. So Crete is the big island that's in the Mediterranean, just south of Greece. It's considered one of the most beautiful places in the whole world. Like what a wonderful thing for Pastor Titus to get called to this beautiful island of Crete. It's like getting called to Honolulu or getting called to the Caribbean or getting called to Southern Illinois, right? Titus is supposed to find these elders. That's what Paul wants him to do. Except these aren't elders the way that we would consider elders, or like the elders that are going to be elected at our meeting later this afternoon. Back in the days of the New Testament, the word elder was really used for what we would call a pastor. I mean, these men were ordained. These men were sent to lead communities of Christians. And so it was Titus's job to find a bunch of these elders, these pastors, and organize this ministry on Crete so that these men could go and preach the word of God to the people. So Titus was supposed to find men that were willing to put down the ducky in their lives. And Paul kind of goes on about that for about four verses. He gives this big, long list of what are the qualifications for a man who's going to serve as one of these elders. He mentions things like he has to be above reproach. He has to be the husband of one wife. His kids need to be believers. He can't be arrogant or quick-tempered. He has to be self-controlled and upright and holy and disciplined. I mean, this is a really hefty list. And the truth is that because of our sinful natures as human beings, there isn't a single person on this planet who fits this list from Paul's letter perfectly. Not one. And this is the problem that really all of us sinners have with the law. The law demands that you need to be great. Except the problem is you can't be great on your own because all of us are holding rubber duckies. And these duckies get in our way and they keep our hands full of sin. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or an elder or a teacher who's about to be installed into your first Lutheran teaching position, or a member of the congregation. These words apply to you. All of us are called to be self-controlled and upright and holy and disciplined. And we want to live that way, right? We want to be faithful to the Lord. We want to go and earn that trophy with our righteousness. But it's not as easy as it sounds. Because we can't just put down the ducky out of our own free will. This ducky is going to stay in our hands unless someone takes it away from us. Thankfully, we know that life isn't Sesame Street. And ultimately, we are not left like Ernie to simply become great by our ability to adhere to the advice that's been given to us by all of the celebrities of the 80s. That's not what's going to happen for us. Christians do not become great through our obedience to the law. Christians don't become great because of anything that St. Titus or St. Paul or any of the saints have told us to do or told us to be. Our righteousness, our salvation comes from Christ alone. And Jesus has shown us what it means to be great. He's revealed his greatness to us, especially during this season of Epiphany. He has shown us exactly what it means to live up to God's perfect, holy standard. Only Jesus could be the perfect pastor, the perfect teacher, the perfect neighbor. Only Jesus could earn the trophy of salvation with the works of his hands. And he has done it in a way that nobody expected, with his obedience all the way to the cross, with a death that he didn't deserve, with a resurrection that defies the logic of a world that sees death as being final. And by doing these things, Jesus took the duckies out of our hands. By doing these things, he took away our sins from us, and he made it actually possible for us to serve the Lord with greatness by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us by faith alone. By the way, this is why pastors wear white robes. This is why when teachers are installed into ministry, they receive the name of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon them. It's not because Lutheran professional church workers are somehow holier than everybody else and we want everybody to look at us. It's because God uses these examples over and over again to show us that he takes ordinary sinners and he covers us with himself. He covers us with his holiness. He covers us with his righteousness. Through baptism, through faith, Jesus enables all of us to put down the ducky and to serve him with hands that are free of the baggage of this world. Hands that are ready to reach out in service to God and in service to our neighbor. So that's really the answer to the question from the beginning of the sermon. What does it take to be great? How does a person earn that trophy? Only because God has made you great. Because God has freely given you the trophy of salvation. Not to become a celebrity here on earth, but to be, by his grace, a saint, and to dwell in his heavenly kingdom forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.